I've entitled the message today, Changing Seasons. Changing Seasons. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let's begin at verse number 3. And we'll read down through verse number 9. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Let's pray. Father, we do pray now that you would bless us with understanding. We pray for the power of the Spirit of God to drive these things deep into our heart, to our life, that we might receive them, that, Lord, we might be affected by them, that truth might find its place in our heart. God, that we might amend our ways, that we might seek to live in the light of truth. We might be aware, Lord, of things you have told us, the things that are around us, the things that will be happening, that, Father, we'll make full use of these days and redeem the time. Bless us now, Father, and guide us into all truth. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We find here that the Apostle Peter, by the Holy Ghost, is relating to us some precious things about the Christian life. And we see previously in our studies that Christians are born for glory. They are born for glory. You and I understand the necessity of the new birth. You must be born again. And thank God that when you and I called upon the Lord Jesus, salvation wasn't just a decision to do something different. It was the power of God where God came in and birthed in you a new nature, the very nature of God. Came to indwell you by His Holy Spirit, and we were changed by the power of God. And so Christians are bound for glory in verse number 3. And then we find in verse number 4 and 5 that we are kept for glory. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then in our scripture, the main part today, Christians are being prepared for glory. If you note here in our scripture, he emphasizes that for a season in verse number 6. That is a very prominent word throughout the scripture, the word season. I want to focus some on that today and gain your attention here on the fact that there are seasons of life. And in verse number 6, he shows us the positive on both ends. Thank God I was born for glory. Thank God in verse number nine, the end of it, I will be in glory. But in the middle, I am being prepared for glory. And so there are seasons. Now listen, and we are dealing with that season of time where God is doing a work in us, preparing us. And the Bible says, if need be, ye are in heaviness for the trying of our faith, for the growing, developing and strengthening of our faith. This present season, the trial of our faith. Now, as I mentioned, seasons are time periods that are marked by a short-term condition. The certainty of change is indicated by seasons. Remember this, Ecclesiastes 3:1. He reminds us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so seasons are meant to indicate something to us. They are meant to teach us, to remind us, to instruct us. We have these natural seasons that we are facing each year. We go through the fall and are facing the fall here shortly and then the winter time. And many of you enjoy the fall, but if you're like me, you dread the winter. but it's a part of life. And so we pass through seasons. Seasons indicate a limitation. There's only so long that it will continue to be warm. Soon the north winds will begin to blow. We'll go through the transition. Leaves will begin to fall from their trees. Granny, I know you're looking forward to that. She has more trees than all of us combined, more leaves than all of us combined, I promise you. It indicates also, season indicates an opportunity. That there are things that can be done. Many of you in the spring, you began to work and you planted your garden. That was an opportunity limited to you by time and by season. And so you, in the first of the summer, you begin to harvest some of the things that you planted. And then comes a time, oh, listen, where those seasons change. And of course, it's different depending upon the climate where you live. But seasons indicate not only limitations, but they indicate to us opportunity. And also, seasons indicate to us preparation. If you know that in May your heater quit and died, it's probably wise to go ahead and get started on it pretty soon. Why? Because we know the season will change. And so, seasons indicate not only limitations, it also indicates opportunities, and it indicates preparation because there is change coming. I'll remind you here that seasons are determined by God. There are the natural seasons. The Bible said in Genesis, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And so God is the author, and God determines the natural seasons that were given to us in the creation of the world. But secondly, we find in Scripture there are spiritual changes, there are spiritual seasons, there are dispensations where God deals with a people, deals with a world, and reveals Himself in different ways, and we have periods of time where God did different things in different ways. The Bible gives us an indication of the time we're living in. It is called the times of the Gentiles. It's called the age of grace. We can refer to it as the church age. It is a time in which God has withheld His judgment, giving men opportunity to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so God hasn't changed His mind about sin, Brother Cliff, but He has withheld the direct, quick, sudden judgment that was manifest in the past, giving men opportunity, showing them mercy. But we find that when the season changes, when the time changes, all of that sin has been remembered and it has been stored in the vessels of the wrath of God. When the great tribulation comes, we find what's indicated there in Scripture is that all of that that has been stored will be spilled out upon the earth. God has not looked the other way with all the millions of little babies that were sucked out of a mother's womb and destroyed. God has not looked the other way. The world is horrified and announces a global offense and a global retribution for the dentist who killed a lion, while at the clinics down the road, they are killing babies one after another. God hasn't changed His mind or looked the other way, but there are seasons in which God has determined. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples were so concerned, they wanted so much for Christ to establish His kingdom. That became the emphasis, and having not fully understood the significance until Jesus resurrected and the Spirit of God came upon them, began to teach them. But in Acts 1:7, they inquired again, and He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in His own power. That is, that there are seasons, there are changes, And God gives us the signs of them. But we know this, the Scripture tells us, that we do not know the day and the hour that Christ will come. But Jesus did teach us there are signs of seasonal change. It's not going to be long before we start receiving more of those northerly winds. And we're going to find, though it's hot in the day, we're going to find the mornings begin to have a little bit of coolness to them. We've had a few here lately, and I soaked it up. It was refreshing. Lower humidity, little breeze, pleasant morning. Rhonda on the trip was reading me about temperatures. And I say, Winston-Salem seems a little bit cooler than here. Slightly, but a little bit cooler. And so while we're discussing that, I said, look up there in the mountains and see what it's going to be. She read one place. She said it was going to be 58. I thought, wow. Front porch cup of coffee, 58. Can you hardly beat it? You know, it'd be simple things in life. It'd be a great pleasure. 58 degrees, seasons. There are signs of seasonal change. Jesus came and taught the disciples in reference to the coming kingdom of certain signs of a change. And we know in the Scriptures there are changes coming. And God calls us, and His Word calls us to understand that life and the world will not continue always as we have known it. And God's Word calls us to these spiritual seasons of change, to these revelations of change upon our world. God calls us to understand that with seasons there is limitations, there is opportunities, and there is preparation. And so as you and I look at this, I'm reminded of some scriptures that instantly come to mind. Seasons are determined by God. There are also seasons where there has been degeneracy, where there has been sin running rampant. Hebrews 11 reminds us that there is pleasure in sin for what? For a season. Now, what does the word season mean there? It means there's a limitation. There's an opportunity of preparation. And that simply means that the pleasure of it is not going to continue. Sin will continue, but not pleasure. It's going to come to a change. You and I know the Scripture. The Bible tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God puts that illustration in the context of time and in seasonal change. There's a time, listen, of seed and a time of harvest. And we understand here, the Bible reminds us, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And so God reveals that there are seasons where men shall find great pleasure in sin, but that will change, and we know that God has pronounced judgment and condemnation upon sin. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank God we can have our sin washed away. Thank God the vilest sinner can be made clean by God if he'll come by faith and call upon Him. God will wash you white as snow. And thank God for that. Why? Because God has pronounced condemnation upon sin. Thank God, listen, we have opportunity during this season to take it to Jesus. I'll tell you one thing, going to Scripture, every person in this room, every person that's ever lived outside of Jesus has sin in their life. But thank God we have opportunity. You know what? We have opportunity today. You can bring your sin to Jesus today. Thank God for that opportunity. But that's seasonal. That is, it is subject to change, opportunities, opportunities to be saved. No wonder the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Why? Because you can't get saved yesterday. Listen, and no guarantee you can get saved tomorrow, but you can get saved today. And you can have all your sin forgiven and be washed and be made clean by the power of the blood of Christ. That's an opportunity that God has given you, and you have that opportunity today. Then we find in 1 Peter there are seasons of development in our life. In our scripture he says, if need be, you are in heaviness. If need be. It shows here that there's a need for it. That it's not arbitrarily just given for the sake of it, but there is a need for our faith to be tested and tried. God is developing our faith. Our faith is the conduit for the grace of God in our life. Faith is the victory. And so, listen, God is working to strengthen your faith, to develop it, to refine it. It's more precious than gold. Listen, that will become a realization when Jesus comes. Listen, the greatest treasure you have is the fact that you put your faith in Him. Gold and silver and precious things will mean nothing when Christ comes. But having trusted in Him, known Him, believed in Him, called upon Him, listen, will mean everything to you when Jesus Christ comes. It's more precious than gold. And God is working to strengthen to refine it, to make it pure, so that you might know the greater victory that Christ brings to your life. And he said in verse 7, he said, if need be, and then in verse 7, might be found. That is, it might have developed, it might have matured, it might have been refined to, at the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so you and I, we are going through a season. Thank God it's not going to last. The seasons of time. I'm glad for the seasons. I like the refreshment of change. There's one particular season I can't wait until it's over. But thank God sooner or later it is over. Enjoying the seasons of change. And as you and I consider that today, listen, there are seasons of our life of trial and trouble and hardship, but it is God's Word here that reminds us that that will change. Because He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There's coming a great day of glory for the child of God. And listen, we have passed through this season, and thank God it will change. And it will be the eternal spring of God for all of His children. And you and I shall live in the glory of God's perfection. And all of it will pass away. And thank God it's just for a season. And so, I remind you here in this theme of seasons, the Bible reminds us that there is a season concerning the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day when Christ shall return, first to gather His bride, the church, and then to come upon the earth to rule and to reign. The Bible reminds us in 1 Peter, or 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, the Bible said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He's not talking about the natural season. He's talking about the spiritual seasons during the time of God's prophecies about the changes that will come to life and to the world. He said, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. And so the Bible indicates that one of the signs of changing seasons is the spirit of the age in which we're living. The changing season is marked by a universal unbelief. Notice he said that when Christ comes, in relationship to the world, it will be as a thief in the night. You know what that is? That is a universal unbelief. Why? Because he is not expected And God has faithfully called and raised up prophets and preachers and teachers to pronounce to this world the coming of Christ and the great day of the Lord. And we have gone forth and preached to the resurrection of Christ, that we have a living Savior and that He shall return. But in this world, after 2,000 years of the revelation of God's truth and the preaching of the Word of God, we have a universal unbelief where the last thing in the world most people ever expect would be Jesus to come. That's an indication of a seasonal change. We find here in our scripture that we who know the Lord, listen, that we're not caught off guard. We see the changing season. The changing season is also marked by universal pride. For the Bible says that they say, who is they? That's the world of unbelief. They say, peace and safety. We have nothing to fear. Everything's going to be all right. We've got it all solved. We're going to work it all out. Peace and safety. Everything's fine. Everything will be all right. Universal pride of mankind in all confidence of solutions. We're okay. We'll figure it all out. We'll work it all out. Now listen, it's going to be accomplished, and man sets his dreams upon all that will be done and will be accomplished, and he fights for a global and universal salvation, universal peace, and that is what men are doing today in the pride of life. And they say peace and safety, and the Bible said then sudden destruction. It's a universal pride and arrogancy that doesn't respect the fact that a holy God sees and knows what's taking place upon this earth and has no conscience nor conviction that God has pronounced judgment upon the world because of its sin. In light of the sins and the darkness of our society, the universal pride of life says, we have nothing to fear. Everything's fine. Everything's good. It's not really wrong. Nothing's sinful. Peace and safety. Now listen, and then comes sudden destruction. I find that the changing seasons are marked by political, economic, global, geological, and religious unrest, as Jesus taught in Matthew 24. And He talked about, listen, the global signs, the upheavals of the world, an increase of calamities and crisis. We have here the religious upheavals, for there are many Christs, Jesus said, that shall come and deceive many. And the iniquity, shall come, and the love of many shall wax cold. And we find here the changing seasons marked by the political, economic, geological, religious unrest that's in the world. What I'm saying is that God teaches us that there are seasons. And those seasons remind us, they teach us something today. They teach us that there is limitation. They teach us that there's opportunities. They teach us that there's preparation. There are things that all of us do in relationship to the four seasons. We start making preparations for them. One time as a young fella, I had bought a car that I dearly loved, everybody else hated. And I just love that little car. And it was American Motors. Not many of those left around. It was a Gremlin X. Had the black stripes on it, big white letter tires. Had a 304, I think it was, in it. That thing run good. A little bit of a hot rod. I was living in North Florida, and they said that it would be in the low 20s. I lived in Florida. I didn't fool no antifreeze in Florida. I woke up that morning. He wasn't low 20s. It was 12. I went to go to work. I'll never forget that sound. I went and fired that thing up. I heard the awfulest screech you ever heard, like metal on metal. Shut the thing off. It was froze. I waited. That thing finally thawed out. Called my boss. Going to be late. Finally thawed out. Fired it, cranked up, and ruined. Before I got 10 miles, I was out of water. Hope is a freak's plug. It wasn't. I don't know what good them things are. They ain't never worked. It was the block cracked. Water pouring out. You had a 15-mile span you could go. If you didn't fill it up then, you burn it up. And the mechanic made me feel better. He said, "Preacher, that particular car, he said to change the freeze plug, you had to pull the engine anyway. He said, it cost you a fortune." I said, "Well, that helps me a little bit." But I lost it. I mean, you know, sold for junk. You know why? Because the seasons change, and I didn't make preparation, and it cost me. I learned that lesson one time. You know what I do? I check everything I can think of. You might see me out there checking your car. I mean, that thing just got, I check everything. Everything, anything. Make sure you got anything free. I learned that lesson one time. It stuck with me the rest of my life. Make preparation. Listen, God is teaching us that there are seasons. And they call us to the fact, wake up, there are limitations. You realize today, our opportunities to see our family saved is a limited time period. You understand me? It's a limited time period. And God help us that we not get serious about it, as Cynthia sang, a day too late. We can wait too late, you see. That's the nature of seasonal change. Listen, it's a day of opportunities, things that I can do today in service of the Lord that I can't do after the change comes. Listen, there are seasonal things, and it's preparation for that which is about to come. It is opportunities. It is a limitations. These are the seasons that God gives us, and the seasons in the Scripture don't have time to go through it all in detail, but let me give you some quick things. What is it about these seasonal changes that God has given us that ought to be seen in my life? First of all, there ought to be a moderation in my life. Why? Because all this is passing away. In my relationship to the world and all that it has and all that it offers, and all that can be done and all that can be possessed and all the things of life, there ought to be a moderation in my life because I understand that it's not going to last. There are changes. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, not to me only, but to all them that also love His appearing." You know why Paul finished his course? Why he stayed on course? Because he kept looking and knew that Jesus was going to come. It also ought to stir our hearts to sanctification, that is, to live for God, to live holy. Peter said, "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God?" He said, since you know what's going to happen and you know what's going to take place, listen, doesn't that motivate you to want to live for God? Because all these things are gone. They're wasted. They're no more. They vanished. They have no consequence. Listen, it's all gone. And so, listen, it ought to be seen in my life and my desire to live for God. Also, in light of the seasons and the changes and the opportunities and preparations and limitations, it ought to lead me to a greater participation. A greater participation. Hebrews 11, or 10, 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the man of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as ye see the day approaching." There ought to be a greater participation in the fellowship, communion, and service of God. Exhorting one another so much the more. Why? Because the day's going to come. And so a greater participation. Then there's also a greater evangelization. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, we've already quoted, "For he hath said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Opportunity is given to us today. And seeing the signs of the seasons, there is a preparation, there's an opportunity, because we know there's a limitation that ought to motivate us, listen, to have a desire to see men come to Christ, especially beginning with our family and friends coming to Christ. There's something stirring and convicting about the passion and the broken heart for lost sinners that impacts their lives. Many a person through my life has testified that it was the broken heart and the tears shed every day of a mama that brought the gospel and hit it hard upon a young man's heart. I've heard others testify that it was the burden of someone else that brought them to the place of conviction and a tender heart toward the gospel. I've heard others testify that it was a person who believed it with all their soul and were changed by the power of God before them, witnessing the change that God had brought in their life. That boy, that stuck with them. They couldn't escape it. And it prepared their heart to open to the gospel of Christ. You see, the changing signs ought to stir our heart in the matter of evangelism, of seeing others come to Christ and be saved. I'm going to tell you, listen, seasons are coming, changes taking place. We didn't have time to elaborate a lot of what Jesus said in Matthew 24. But don't be caught off guard. And don't be one day too late. Because change is coming. Thank God, we can make full preparation for it. Full preparation. But I understand my opportunity is limited. And today's the day to take seriously what God has revealed. As Paul said, brethren, you're not in darkness that that day should overtake you, something. No, you already know it. You already know it. You know what he said? Then we need to be sober, watching, serving, ready for the Lord to come.